gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York and with 70% more phlegm today. Welcome, everybody. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free.
I thought it was the Brenda Vaccaro Show.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, Chris, now that I tweet, I could take a picture of my phlegm and put it on the internet.
Yeah, hawk up some lung butter and we'll post that up on the website.
Well, people were eating breakfast.
We have a big show. Frank Rich, best columnist in the world.
Shh, you're not supposed to tell me. I'm supposed to guess that.
Oh, guess who's on the show today, Jim?
Melvin Spelvenheim.
No. And not Richie Rich either. Frank Rich will be on the big show, where I will, as I normally do, read his entire column back to him.
And he loves that so much.
Mm-hmm. As you know, it took up most of the show yesterday.
Yeah.
But seriously, best column ever about Afghanistan, so we will talk to him. And then we're honored to have Senator Max Cleland on the former Senator Max Cleland to talk about his new book, Heart of a Patriot, How I Found the Courage to Survive Vietnam, Walter Reed, and Karl Rove.
Wow.
So we have another big show. I apologize for my voice. However, we have, well, first of all, the breaking news. Jim, I don't know if you heard this, but insurance companies have done a study showing that the insurance reform bill is bad.
Huh. Wow. Interesting.
Also, Kentucky Fried Chicken has just done a study showing that chicken
is delicious.
Is the best thing in the world for you. Fried chicken is the healthiest thing ever. Mm.
Although, KFC original recipe is pretty damn tasty. I have to say.
Right. See, you're exactly the kind of stooge they're looking for in this study. All right, speaking of breaking news, left and right, there is something about the Stephanie Miller Show that associate producer Rebecca Baker got married.
What? Yes.
Over her vacation?
Yes, she did.
This is what happens every time we go on vacation. Jim got married last vacation.
That's right.
You remember how he buried the lead, Chrissy? We had a whole first break.
Yeah.
And during the first commercial break, he was like, oh, by the way, I got married over the...
Like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Mayor? We got to stop giving people vacations. What? Chris and I are the official single losers of the show now, I guess.
I think so.
Rebecca!
Hi!
Young lady, I turned my back on you for 1 minute.
I know, that's the reaction I'm getting from everyone. What the?
WTF, OMG.
It's those aquamarine jeans that sealed the deal, I'm sure.
Yes, it's the jeans I wear.
My thought bubble has turned into a total Twitter, like, OMG. Oh, LOL. Oh, my God. Who did you marry and why? What's happened?
Well, actually, I married a gentleman who works at the conservative station down the hall.
Duh. Oh, you can get fired for that, can't you? Let me check my manual. Yeah. Oh!
Wasn't a David Letterman type thing going on there?
Right, exactly. I didn't say he was conservative.
Okay.
He happens to work there. You know, the summer
heat. He's not a host. What does he do?
He works in production. He puts together all the zingers. Similar to what Chris does.
No. All those zippy right-wing zingers.
And I wanted to marry Jim, but he got married already.
Yes, well, he broke all our hearts, as you know.
Damn.
And then he'll still sexually harass us for free.
Sure.
Know?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to marry Chris.
Yes.
But I don't... Yeah,
that wouldn't work.
Yeah, we work together, and it would just be too much time together.
He's been playing hard to get for years.
But thank you.
Wow, congratulations, honey. Why was I not contacted to be the flower girl or something? Why was Mama not invited?
Okay. Nobody was invited, including my mother.
Oh, she must be pleased with you.
Yes, she's very thrilled that it's a man.
Wow. You went to Vegas?
I did. It was very impulsive.
Oh, did Elvis marry you?
No, he was too much money.
Oh, okay.
So I had like a character actor
Big Bird or something?
No, it was this gentleman with like a bad Cajun accent.
Like James Carville?
Like James Carville. No, you got married by James Carville.
Exactly.
Wow. And was the honeymoon extra spicy Cajun hot?
Yeah, it was in Vegas.
Good.
So it lasted all night.
No. Okay, you little, you
played Xbox, and then you went to sleep.
Is that what the kids are calling it? Jim, would you like to try on my Xbox later?
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Well, come here, Rebecca,
I've got
we
the
are,
joystick.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
We are startled. And are there going to be little phone and drummers at some point? Or?
Yes, I'm pregnant now. Just kidding. Oh. Just kidding. Psych.
And the baby looks just like Ross Perot.
Let me finish.
You'll have to teach them that impression immediately. Well, wow, congratulations. Did you do this just to make Chris and I look like bigger losers, or was it vengeful in any way, or really just a...
Well, yes. Yes, it was.
She's all in right. love.
Oh. Well, I'm too bitter to even acknowledge
yes.
that. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Congratulations, Rebecca Baker, the recently married.
Woo!
Yeah.
So today, you're allowed to, when you call in at 1-800-STEP-12, to say, congratulations, Rebecca. And then, in honor of her wedding, please do what she says.
Yes.
Do not say where you're from. Don't ask me how I am.
How are you doing?
Don't say I told the screener, blah, blah, blah.
I was telling your screener. I'm.
What else?
How you doing?
Okay. I think we can speak for everybody when we say no one cares how I am.
Exactly.
I'm
Flemmy.
Crappy. I'm a big phlegm head. Wow.
You're Flemish.
I really am.
Oh.
All right. So today, obviously, a big day in healthcare. They will vote in the Senate Finance Committee today on the Max Baucus healthcare phlegm.
Baucus.
Exactly. This is really incredible. The study by the insurance companies saying, you know, this insurance reform is a bad idea.
Bad for America.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad for
you
our
remember,
pocketbooks.
You remember, Chris, it was like the ad. Remember when they did the, it was the, I forget what, the bipartisan study that's showing, you know, what is it, 45,000 people a year die.
Yeah.
From a lack of health insurance.
Oh, that.
Yeah, we're going to see more attack ads like this one, I think.
According to a so-called study by a nefarious left-wing propaganda rag called the American Journal of Public Health, 45,000 Americans die each year due to the lack of health insurance. This suspicious screed was funded by a research grant, probably issued by George Soros, and conducted by researchers from Harvard. That's right, Harvard, the center for communist left-wing indoctrination attended by the Kennedys. Not surprisingly, the study was released by Physicians for a National Health Program. These sleeper cell fifth columnist anarcho-syndicalist French Nazis actually want you to practice something called preventative care, forcing people to change their eating habits and engage in something called exercise. Don't let Nazi socialist liberal commie big government get between you and your deep-fried Twinkies, chili cheese corn dog fries,
oh, yeah.
corn cheddar bacon oh. pancakes, double oh. cheeseburger po' boys,
oh.
spam sickles, and chicken finger bacon pizza.
Oh, yeah.
With gravy.
Oh, yeah.
So light up a pack of Lucky Strikes, go get your 2-liter to-go cup of high fructose corn syrup, and tell Obamacare to butt out. Paid for by Americans for Early Death. Who wants to live forever anyway?
You know, the last time you mentioned chicken finger bacon pizza with gravy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
someone actually went home that night
and made it.
Yeah.
They said
Charlie's
it was actually really good.
I bet.
I hope you're proud of yourself, Jim Ward. This is why you're fat.com. You see,
yes,
you're the main
yes.
contributor.
You can see even worse stuff at thisiswhyyourefat.com.
You know what? We shouldn't bring that up because we're like a cats with a cat toy, with a new toy. We're like, oh, and then we're on there all morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The big thing that's going around right now is I guess it's a Paula Deen creation. It's a cheeseburger with a fried egg on top. And instead of a bun, they use a Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh, I was with you up until that.
You lost me on that.
Yeah.
it's like my rule about Thanksgiving foods. The candy does not belong in vegetables. Here, we made spinach and Skittles. Would you like some? I don't understand. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. You know, kids, we watch so you don't have to anymore. Wow.
What?
My voice is really
yeah.
could be delightful by hour three today.
Yeah, you got a B. Arthur thing going
I'm
on.
I'm a little Flemish today, too. I think I caught it from you.
You know what's a weird coincidence? Later on, Chris in Tinsel Talk?
What?
Or in Celebrity Stack?
What?
Guess who's in it?
Who?
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair?
Yes, and my voice will sound exactly like that. What are the chances?
Although that wasn't Linda Blair doing that voice.
No.
No, it was Mercedes McCambridge.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm. How did you know that?
Right, because it was my big impression that, along with Katherine Hepburn, who's also in the Celebrity Stack today.
She's, well,
really?
Actually, she's going to be in whatever. What is it called?
A new book.
Tinsel Talk.
Oh, yes. Yes. And by the way, Chris, that I think you're just trying to make me feel better. What are the chances you'd find a Linda Blair and a Katherine Hepburn impression for Celebrity Stack, my only two impressions that stopped being relevant in 1987 or whatever?
I do what I can.
Okay. All righty then. Okay. Anita Dunn, she is the White House communications director.
Yeah.
She's a big you go girl this morning. She said what I guess we all known for years.
Fox News often operates almost as either the research arm or the communications arm of the Republican Party. And it's not ideological. I mean, obviously, there are many commentators who have conservative, liberal, centrist, and everybody understands that. What I think is fair to say about Fox, and certainly the way we view it, is that it really is more a wing of the Republican Party.
Yes, and it's headed by Roger Ailes, political propagandist.
Yes.
That should have been a clue.
Yeah.
Oh, but you can imagine the firestorm that set off on the Fox News channel yesterday.
Oh, they started screaming like little girls.
And that was just Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's okay what they do. Just say what you do.
Yeah,
you
know, Fox Opinion Network.
Yeah, because that's what they try to say. It's like, oh, well, there's a difference. We're like the newspaper where, you know, there's an opinion section and a blah, blah. No, your reporting, quote unquote, is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as slanted as your quote unquote, whatever you call that, opinion. she said, oh, by the way, she said Obama had recently chosen not to appear on Fox because of the administration's belief Fox is ideologically predisposed against Obama and his agenda.
Why would you think that? Wow.
You think?
Although
but she
I think he would do well arguing with Bill O'Reilly.
Exactly. Well, that's what she said, is that he has gone on, obviously, before, and he will do it again. He said he'll go on Fox because he engages with ideological opponents. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He said when he goes on Fox, though, he understands he's not really going on a news network at this point. He's going to debate the opposition, and that's fine. He never minds doing that. I thought she made some really great points. She said, let's not pretend they're a news network the way CNN is.
Yeah, well, CNN is moving to the right every day, it seems like.
Except if you heard the rumor that the Lou might be going to Fox News.
Yeah, well, Fox Business.
Oh, Fox Business.
Fox Business on the Channel. Air? Yes.
Is that really?
It is.
Is there anybody watching that?
Yeah.
Oddly, they have a bad business model, the Fox Business Channel.
Well, actually,
ironically,
yeah, they just got Don Imus as their morning show, and their ratings have gone up because of that. So, yeah.
Well, then.
So they're trying to attract star power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Yeah.
If only someone else had the good sense to put a popular morning radio show on television. All right. So, at any rate, yeah, I don't know. Well, that would get rid of a journalistic embarrassment for CNN, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, could be a win-win. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pardon me, I was Twittering. Ken in Cleveland, everybody, says to go to StephanieMiller.com. He has tweeted me about the new pictures of Mama that are up in the tight blue top?
Yes.
And he writes,
I think he's in Lerve.
Yeah, well, Jim knows. When it's a certain lighting, when the lighting is just right, and the bra and the top and everything, and there's up lighting, it can appear that I have a small amount of cleavage.
You don't look like you have any cleavage in this picture.
All right. Well, thanks for falling for it anyway.
Yeah.
For the illusion. John in Austin, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. John in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I'm really getting creeped out by the people here in Austin and in Texas generally, because they're so brainwashed By the right wing, here we have Rush Limbaugh in the afternoon on three stations at one time.
Yeah. Oh, what a treat.
One single right wing station of any kind here. And really, the people are starting to kind of creep me out. I think they're really brainwashed. One guy today told me Obama is the Antichrist, you know. I hear stuff like that every day. And because they know I like Obama, they attack me a lot. And I just get a little creeped out by it.
How do they respond when you say, no, perhaps he's not the Antichrist? Perhaps the Antichrist lives in another part of Texas.
Yeah, I told him that. He was
George
in a psycho there, and he just, you know, it's like they're so made up their mind that he just said, well, you'll see, you should be really afraid. That's what the guy.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll all see each other at the rapture. All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, you know.
Sure.
Sure, we'll see, because clearly it will, if he's the Antichrist, what happens, Jim? I forget. In scripture.
Cats sleeping with dogs.
Yeah. Texas scares me.
But she can bring a gun to church.
Yeehaw! Oh, man. And by the way, have you noticed, there's all these new laws, right? You can bring a gun to church. You can bring a gun to a bar.
Oh, that's in Arizona. Yeah. Arizona.
Sounds like a worse idea than a baby in a bar. But meanwhile, did you see Alabama once again upholding the anti-masturbation law?
What?
You cannot, by artificial means.
If you're upholding it, you're almost there.
No, you know, it's the vibrator ban. So you could, let me get this straight. You could take a gun into a bar, but you can't buy a vibrator Alabama?
Can men masturbate in Alabama?
It's a state statute prohibiting masturbation by artificial means.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
okay. Well, that doesn't apply to us generally.
No.
I don't know what you all use in privacy at home, whatever.
Never mind.
It's something manly, right? Something, weed whacker, something.
No,
power
inflatable
tool.
Dolls.
You don't need anything,
no,
really.
It's all built in.
Yeah, you got what you need.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, GTK, make a note of it. Alabama considers unlawful the sale of any device designed primarily for the stimulation of human genital organs.
Especially if it's bigger than mine. I mean, no, that's not what I meant.
The recent Supreme Court decision underlines the fact that a number of states' regulation of sexual activity sometimes outweighs the regulation of guns.
Yeah. So a baby could bring a gun into a bar, but not a vibrator.
Exactly.
Okay. Just so I'm clear.
Has a vibrator ever killed anybody? Maybe.
Maybe.
Could be.
If it's on the Oh My God setting, sure.
If you're throwing it at someone's head and it hits you just right.
Uh-oh.
Pardon me. Okay, Brit Hume on the Everett Burr Show.
The kind of salvos recently fired at Fox News by the Obama White House represent, as you heard David Gergen say, a risky strategy. The White House has, though, chosen its words with some care. Note the characterization of Fox not as conservative, but as Republican. A lot more Americans identify themselves as conservative than as Republican. Mm. What's more, though, if Fox News really were a GOP mouthpiece, the White House would not be attacking it. It would feel no need to.
He seems a little pouty.
Yeah.
I'm more blubbery than usual.
My gosh. Right-wing wackos aren't conservative, by the way.
Yes, thank you. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more Right-Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Just like the ancient Romans.
Yeah, except their empire was falling apart.
Mine isn't expanding. Stephanie Miller from the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International.
International?
Com and Sons. Okay.
International is when you have a bagel.
And I had one this morning. I had a fabulous New York bagel.
In New York, they have bagels?
Oh, my God.
This is a shmear and a shmear.
With a shmear.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Someone tweeted, Chris, you're right, I do need to learn the finer points of male masturbation. They want to know if socks have been outlawed in Alabama.
Yeah, they want to know if they can still use a sock in Alabama.
It's sock. Not that sock.
No, not that sock.
No, not the guy, not the right-winger that sent me a death threat, an actual sock. Who knew? I didn't know that a sock was useful in these matters.
Apparently it's those 70s tube socks that
yes.
most...
Oh, it creates friction or something?
Well, you know, if you roll it up right. I'm sure I'm told.
Really, Jim?
Okay. So it has to be a tube sock without the heel.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, Carol in New York on the
again, so I'm
debate.
Told.
Hi, Carol, welcome.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I'm in mourning this morning.
Why's that?
Well, here's another side of the healthcare debate that nobody ever talks about. My husband and I have had the same doctor for over 15 years. We love him so we drive from New York to New Jersey for our visits, and that's, you know, great mm-hmm. love, believe me. Mm-hmm. And he told us yesterday he will no longer be taking United Healthcare, which is our insurance, because of all of the insanity, them denying so many of his patients care, and his staff having to work so many hours fighting with these people. And so now we're going to try to find a way to work around it and hopefully just go to him for well checkups. But we are just devastated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can you believe this this report that the health insurance industry put out? I mean, it's laughable, isn't
it? And there
it?
Was a smug little pea brain on C-SPAN this morning, you know, a Republican tool, just laughing it up about how, you know, the report that they released, of course, Senator Rockefeller is going to be upset about it and fight about it because, of course, the liberals would fight about something like that. This is not a liberal or a conservative issue. This is a health issue, and it's a national security issue. I am just devastated when I hear people making fun of this at this point, and it really came home now. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol. Yeah, that's the thing that people don't get in all the, partisan sniping on the right. It's just there are people dying. There are people dying as we talk about this. You know, and if you're just interested in scoring political points, I mean, this a White House spokesman said this insurance industry report, this is a self-serving analysis from the insurance industry, one of the major opponents of health insurance reform. It comes on the eve of a vote that will reduce the industry's profits. It's hard to take seriously. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's laughable. It's like, oh, look at this. Look at the timing of this right before this,
right.
the vote in the Senate committee.
But
why?
Fox says we have the best health care in the world.
Yeah, and you love it. Oh, this is going to make your premiums go up. Well, you're the ones that would have to raise them. It's like, well, we won't want to.
We'll be forced to raise
your premiums again.
Because we only have 11 gajillion dollars.
Exactly. That's exactly what they said.
We need more.
11D gajillion?
Yes.
11D gajillion.
Okay.
It's a kid number.
A thousand zeros.
Okay.
Yes. What health insurance CEOs make is a kid number that sounds made up, but it is in fact real.
That's what they make per hour.
Mm-hmm. 11D gajillion.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. They were in a, boy, were they in a snit on the Fox News.
Oh, my God. Everybody was so whiny yesterday.
Obama White House. Gosh, that was a crazy contention that Fox in some way it seems slanted against the administration. That was such a shocking news to the people at Fox News. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Report.
This is a president who got so used to the hagiographic enthralled coverage that he had last year that he can't stand a network that, in the words of one analyst, is insufficiently obsequious. we don't have anchors here at Fox who get a thrill up their leg in the middle of an Obama speech. I don't recall it ever having happened, at least while I was on the set.
I think it might have happened to Shep Smith once.
What's that?
Thrill up his leg. I think it might have happened to Shepard Smith once.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Don't you love how he quoted, as an analyst said, I'm going to guess an analyst on Fox News.
Yeah, yeah.
One analyst.
Which, by the way, proves the White House's point again.
Yeah.
I think because that's what Bill O'Reilly calls himself, right, Chris? He's a news analyst.
Sure. Yeah, whatever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our hard news coverage is fair and balanced, ladies and gentlemen. And again, if somebody doesn't believe that, let's see the evidence. Because bloviating walks.
Okay. Well, just turn on Fox News any hour of any day.
Right.
That would be the evidence right there.
Even Greta Van Susteren has turned into a complete right-wing tool as of late. She doesn't do the missing white women stories anymore. It's all Karl Rove and Newt Gingrich all the time.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm. All right. O'Reilly, again, on the...
If you're going to be in a seat of power in Washington, if you're going to be in the White House, and then you want to pick an ongoing fight with Fox News, number one, it empowers Fox News, no doubt about it.
I agree.
Number two... Yeah. Your message is now going to be perceived as what? That you're a whiner?
Actually, it sounds like you're the one that's whining.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The real power is not in the White House, Chris.
No.
It's in the Fox News.
Right.
Okay.
You're going to be in trouble if you get Fox News angry at you.
I'm relieved. I want someone with a steady temperament like that, like Bill O'Reilly, to have their finger on the button.
Yeah.
Or maybe Glenn Beck if he's not available.
Oh, Lord.
I love my country so much. Obama hates white people. Get off my phone.
Mary Catherine Hamm, who, I seriously cannot tell
sometimes
the Fox News personalities from the 7 Night Live characters.
Armpits.
Bill, it's important to note, too, that some of these stories, like Van Jones and Acorn, they ended up being huge
stories.
Yeah,
they're stories.
Big stories. It's not Fox's fault. It's not Fox's fault that the White House isn't vetting
properly. And the Tea Party is a big story as well.
It's good for people.
Right. Let me get to Al Gore.
It's good for people that comes out.
Wow.
It's
people on Fox News discussing
how
these were huge stories.
Took down Acorn by sending people out with cameras, hidden cameras.
They haven't taken down Acorn, though.
No.
Unbelievable.
They did take down Van Jones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's
why.
But
they were only huge stories because Fox made them huge
stories,
sadly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who was it? Eric Bowler yesterday from Media Matters, but wrote a great piece about that's the real problem, is it seeping into the mainstream media because they're feeling, oh, we're going to miss a story. Fox is going to say we missed a story.
That's
so we
George
better
Bush
cover
got
whatever
elected.
There. Yeah, exactly.
When his cousin reported, or his cousin at Fox News reported that Al Gore was losing. He was never losing.
Right.
But the media, just pack mentality, didn't want to be scooped, so they all reported that.
Well, right. Then even the New York Times has a reporter that's looking into the buzzworthy news coming from, talk radio and Fox News. But first of all, it's only news if it's true, you morons. That's the problem. It's story after story has been proven to just be false, to be flat out false.
I can't watch CNN anymore. They're just, ugh.
All right. By the way,
it
turns out the ban on talk radio hosts on CNN, Chris?
Yeah.
That appears to still largely be in effect.
Oh, why?
As Mama found out in New York this week.
Oh.
I don't know.
Did you walk into CNN's headquarters there?
Yes, and demand it to be put on.
And they tased you.
Go right? Exactly. Tase me, bro!
And I was tased and removed from the premises. No, I was on the... it might be just the lair. I was on the lair last week, but I apparently... Larry's a wild man. He knows no rules.
You know what? I've noticed that on the Situation Room, where I got, a lot of my right-wing world clips, they have stopped their feature, the panel that they had. So I haven't seen Paul Begala in weeks. I haven't seen any of the right-wing Terry Jeffrey on that show.
Paul Begala's probably banned because he makes fat jokes about Ari Fleischer.
Well, yeah. But I haven't,
which, in our opinion, makes him the best pundit in the world.
Right. But I haven't seen a left-right panel on that show in a couple of weeks now, so I'm wondering if they completely got rid of it.
Yeah, they don't want to
sounds
see
like it.
We don't want partisanship of any kind or opinion. Ooh. Okay. Bernard Goldberg on the O'Reilly Show.
Rahm Emanuel turned on the TV set in the White House one day. He saw one too many things on Fox that he doesn't like, and in a fit of macho, he declared war on Fox News.
And he knows that how.
He doesn't.
So it would be yet another thing reported on Fox News.
Here's another story I pulled completely out of my ass.
Yes, I just pulled this out of my ass. Here's what I think happened. Some say there's controversy over whether Rahm Emanuel, whatever.
It was John Stewart was showing on CNN how they all say, we'll have to leave it there. We'll have to leave it there. We'll have to leave it there. Don't leave it there! Whenever they come up on something contentious, they cut off the debate before someone can respond to it.
In broadcasting, there are time constraints.
Well,
we had to cut off.
Except Jim is saying it's kind of eerie that it's always right when there's been some big
right-wing
lie. Yeah, some right-wing
blowhard gets the last word. Oh, we'll have to leave it there. But wait a minute. We'll have to leave it there.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there for today.
There,
on
there
the big,
that's
fat
where we're
Republican
leaving.
Lie. Yeah.
I tend to give the broadcasters benefit of the doubt.
Of course you do, because you're a right-wing tool.
Right. But I'm a broadcaster. I know you've had to cut people off because of time constraints.
Yeah, but not consistently like that.
Yeah. Oh, please. It's like Lou Dobbs when a caller said, the birther caller, and he goes, well, your view certainly can't be discounted. Yes, it can.
Well, that was right-wing
Thule. Am I a journalist, Lou, you big tool?
Yeah, that was Thule, yes. But that had nothing to do with a time constraint.
Yeah, but their time constraints are very convenient.
Yeah.
Fooey.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like there's two sides of the birther issue. It's like, no, there's not. Okay, prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris on the Nobel Peace. He still cannot get over the Frenchness and gayness and socialistical nature of the Nobel Peace Prize.
This is part of Europe's effort to colonize the United States, to reverse the effects of the American Revolution. We talked about it a week or two ago about the G20 and the inroads into our economic sovereignty. And this, along with the prize for Gore and the prize to Carter after he opposed the Iraq War, those are all attempts by the Norwegian Parliament, a group of socialists in Norway, who make these decisions, to influence American politics.
Wow. Wow, Jim. Can they do that? They're trying to overturn
the
American
overturn
Revolution?
They're trying to overturn the Constitution. They're trying to overturn the American Revolution to make us lose.
Oh, can that be reversed? They're trying to recolonize us? Wow. That's the screechiest, most ridiculous thing Dick Morris has said lately. And that's saying something. Wow. All right. That concludes another really screechy right in the world. Wow.
By the way, there's a conservative government in Germany. The CDU. They're not extreme left-wing bomb throwers by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm.
Well, Germany has a history of extreme right-wingism.
Yeah, not lately, though.
Well, I know not lately, but it's kind of prominent in their history.
All right. That left a bad taste in my mouth now, in addition to phlegm. All right.
Let's,
one Republican senator actually claimed that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is working very well, thank you.
Huh? Who?
We'll tell you who when we return. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Winchester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome, James got scared and hung up.
Oh, did he? He's my trucker friend.
Yeah.
He was going to say that the economy is bad, that I'm wrong, things are getting worse, or whatever.
Yep. But he didn't want to stay on with you.
Well, I'm not an economist, although I play one on the radio at times. But the real economists have declared the Great Recession is over. The National Association of Business Economists has declared the proclamation based on a survey of professional forecasters who also caution the recovery will take place slowly as large increases in federal debt and unemployment are expected to remain very high throughout next year. They say the three-year downturn in the housing market appears to be coming to an end with growth expected next year. They said while unemployment is expected to rise to 10% in the first quarter, it's expected to slip to 9.5% by the end of 2010. One of them said, the good news is this deep and long recession appears to be over, and with improving credit markets, the U.S. economy can return to solid growth next year without worry about rising inflation. So, I know it doesn't feel that way to a lot of people yet, that particularly the ones that are out of work, but I don't know. Jim Cramer said it on Hardball yesterday, Chris, so it must be true.
Jim Cramer says.
Well, he said the administration has done all the right things. Bernanke, how do you say his name?
Bernanke.
Thank you.
Bernanke.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bernanke. Geithner. What's that?
Mr. Bernanke.
Who's the 8-year-old? Geithner, the 8-year-old kid that they have running.
The one with the square head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He looks like Gumby.
He was once a little green ball of cash.
Yes. Thank
Geithner.
My favorite Jim Adlib of all time. He was once a little green ball of cash. Okay. Oh, I have someone, by the way, Rebecca has gotten married, now I'm feeling even more competitive. I must beef up my future husband list.
Oh?
So could I have my wedding march, please? Thank you.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about.
No.
The Connecticut ninja who wanted to beat up Joe Lieberman. Has been arrested.
Oh, no.
A man dressed as a ninja waving nunchucks on a street corner was arrested. Police say they received numerous emergency calls about the man who was standing on the corner of Route 83 and Reagan Road. You know, that intersection.
Oh, that's a good intersection.
Mm-hmm. He was yelling about wanting to beat up U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, among other diatribes.
Who hasn't wanted to beat up Joe Lieberman?
That's just what I'm saying.
Right.
Can you imagine the dinner table talk? This is what we talk about when we spoon. But he became polite and cooperative after officers started pulling out their beanbags and taser guns.
Oh, well then, yeah.
Cops throw beanbags at you now?
No, they shoot them at you.
Oh!
Yeah, they hurt.
Oh.
They're not lethal, but they hurt a lot and they you know, cause a big bruise.
He was released to a Rockville General Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. I would like one of those on Senator Lieberman, actually. I think that might even be more helpful to the... All right. Thank you. That's my future husband list. Okay,
I think a psychological analysis of Joe Lieberman would prove that he is completely sedate.
He's completely what?
Sedate im Kopf.
Oh, it's a Yiddish thing.
You pulled out the Yiddish on us again. Thank you. And you would think, because I just had a bagel and a schmear, that I would have picked up on that a little quicker.
Just by osmosis. You
yeah.
Exactly. All right. Wow, this is a edition of Isn't It Ironic? So we have, as you know, Senator Max Cleland on next hour.
That's right.
To talk about his new book, Heart of a Patriot, How I Found the Courage to Survive the Vietnam War, Walter Reed and Karl Rove. So, ironically, the senator I was talking about that claimed Don't Ask, Don't Tell is working really great, the odious Senator Saxby Chambliss.
Yeah.
The one that ran those ads by Karl Rove comparing decorated Cleland war hero Max Cleland to Osama bin Laden.
Max Cleland, who left his arms and legs on a battlefield in Vietnam.
Yes, he did not apparently leave enough limbs on the battlefield in Vietnam to be a patriot for... Oh, Republicans like Senator Saxby Chambliss.
Who probably used some kind of deferment to get out of serving in Vietnam, I'm guessing.
This is him on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
My question back to the president is why? We've got a program that's working within the military. It's been very effective, very accommodating for about 15, 16 years now, and it's worked well, and I think there's no reason to change it. I get... calls from military personnel on a regular basis every time this issue gets stirred up. And this is not a popular discussion within the military, I can assure you.
Yeah, well, that's not according to any poll of the military that has been done in any recent times that I can recall.
Guess he didn't talk to Victor Fehrenbach, the fighter pilot, who's on the verge of losing his pension because someone outed him.
Or Lieutenant Dan Choi.
Right.
Yes.
Who lost his job.
Yeah, but he's just an Arab translator. Why would we need people who speak Arabic? That's nuts.
I mean, that's what they always do. You know, you have these polls that they've done over and over again showing that, that absolutely the military is behind repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They just, I hear all the time. One guy called me from a guy I hear all the time.
There's a fellow out there that whose name I can't recollect at this time, but who told me that it's very popular. It's very popular among the troops because they don't like the Mo's.
Senator Saxby Chambliss is just the very definition of a
bully. Can't you just hear him saying the same thing about, I don't know, slavery and interracial marriage? Every time people go sticking their nose in and, you know, ginning this this up, I hear why I say, boy, I say. He just starts to sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I say, son.
I say, son, don't go stirring all that up on all this business about the blacks being able to marry the whites. Don't every time everybody gins that sort of thing up.
It's like a chicken hawk.
People all get riled up around here. You know, it's a sad day when Lady Gaga has more credibility than a United States senator on this issue.
Obama, I know that you're listening. Are you listening?
Oh, dear.
She got a little yelly.
Oh, dear.
We will continue to push you and your administration to bring your words of promise to a reality. We need change now. We demand actions now.
You know, good for her. And furthermore, gitchy, gitchy, ya, ya.
What? And she'll take a ride on your disco stick.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what Jim wanted to hear.
I think her audience don't really want her riding on their disco sticks. They're her core audience, but, you know, I'm just saying.
What are you saying? What are you saying her core audience
was so,
is?
It was so subtle, Chris. I could see where you didn't pick that up. Yeah.
Their
disco
sticks are occupied, I think. So.
Look, the vast majority of the American people, including the military, is for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell and thinks it's ridiculous. I'll tell you what happened about on Meet the Press about this as well this weekend. It's just, to me, this shouldn't even be a debate anymore. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Senator Max Cleland and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie, we have a little bit of breaking news here. There's a bit of an uprising on the live blog at stephaniemiller.com.
Settle down, everybody. What's happening?
Juliet Hussein Bravo says, Steph must be tweeting and ignoring us on the live blog. It's just like dinner with my teenager.
Kids. Mama loves you all. It's Aww. Just the tweeters are newer and cuter. But
what?
Mama likes the newfangled thing. Mama loves all her internet babies, live bloggers and tweeters.
Yes. You can follow Stephanie's tweets at SM Show. That's SM Show.
Mm-hmm.
Not S&M Show.
No.
Mm-hmm. StephanieMiller.com. New pictures of Mama up. Hooray. You can email us all there at the old-fashioned way. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Here's, speaking of things that I find on the internet, some of the many wonders.
What?
That float around the internet. Guess what I can get for Halloween? You can get sexy costumes for your dogs.
Oh, no.
Oh, somebody, yeah. Max and Fred are going to be in Chippendales outfits. Who's mommy's handsome boys? Yay!
Max!
You, because you know what I always say about Max, Chris. He's so handsome and romantic. Oh, mommy's boy. Okay.
Wow. Oh, my God. So, okay, if you put them in sexy costumes, are they going to... Are you going to take pictures of them with, like, their legs spread and all
yes,
of that?
Yes.
Oh,
pictures there in the thing, which shows a little dog wearing a Catholic high school girl out with its butt in the air.
Yeah, he's in the play bow, but it looks kind of like a, you know.
It's, what?
It looks kind of like Larry Craig bent over the koala changing station. You know. Consumers.com says, last year we highlighted sexy Halloween costumes for inappropriately young girls. Yeah, because they all dress like sluts now, the kids.
Yeah.
There's like witch sluts and I got no
slutty
sluts.
Witch, you know, yeah. whatever.
Slutty, really, there's a slut version of every costume.
Slutty talk show host.
Exactly. Anyway, they've decided to take it farther. Sexy costumes for dogs. Oh, here it is. You can also get matching sexy human and dog costumes.
Oh,
that's me. I'm going to get those kits to my house for candy this year if it kills me.
Mommy, the scary lady is wearing the same clothes as her dog. I don't think we should go there anymore.
Let's go to the boy band next door.
They had better candy.
Speaking of sexy animal news, this is in the animal slut stack. Gray squirrels to be put on the pill.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Slutty squirrels?
And on a Welsh island, yes, gray squirrels could be put on the pill in a bid to prevent them from threatening red squirrels. On a Welsh island.
It's like Mean Girls. The gray squirrels are threatening the red squirrels.
It's like West Side Story.
Yeah.
It's already been brought in.
Conservation group Friends of Red Squirrels has volunteered to trial a contraceptive drug to be placed in bait. Oh, because I was thinking, yeah, it'd be hard to get a rubber on a squirrel, wouldn't it? That would be...
Dude.
You might get scratched up in the process.
Yeah.
Besides, you don't make them that small.
That is, you know, that's a balloon animal that's really too challenging.
Although, Stephanie?
Yes.
I don't think they really called them rubbers since 1983.
Really? No.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that men use socks to masturbate until you told me earlier.
Some do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is because the sex toys have been banned in Alabama. So, you know, people are looking at alternatives.
Sure.
Okay.
And Craig Mayhem tweeted that cucumbers
yes.
are still natural products. Vegetables. Yes.
Yes.
So,
good for you.
And they're bumpy.
I'm always embarrassed buying one at a farmer's market, I must say. I really do like cucumbers, and I'm really like,
Oh, boy. Everyone thinks I'm going to do something else with this.
All right. By the way, here's another story, Chris, about the vast power of Stephanie Miller International.
What?
The headline is, the congressman wants you to say Boehner. Oh, Boehner, come on.
It's Boehner Watch 2007. Yes. How long will this Boehner last?
Not very long.
If your Boehner lasts more than 4 hours, consult your lobbyist.
And failing that, get a cucumber.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boehner!
Chris, as we've explained multiple times, when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking.
When two vowels go walking, the first one does
Congressman
the talking.
John Boehner.
Boehner
is his name.
B-O-E-H.
Boehner in German.
It's on his website. This is the awesome reach and power of the Stephanie Miller Show. House Minority Leader John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, wants to make sure people continue to say his frequently mispronounced name correctly. Boehner's campaign staff dedicated prime real estate on his campaign site to make sure people say Boehner. No, computer says no.
It should be on the top of your list.
Computer says no.
It's not on the top of anyone's list, apparently. The Republican leader also includes a pronunciation guide on his official House of Representatives biography. No dice, Boehner.
No. Still going to say Boehner.
Boehner, 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 Boehner. All right. So we were talking before the break about the Senator Saxby Chambliss saying that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell is working just fine and dandy. Thank you so much. Yeah. By the way, it won't be working so well for those of us killed by terrorists because we don't have enough Arabic translators to find out you know, certain information in time. That won't be really working so well.
And who needs highly decorated fighter pilots?
Yeah.
What do they know?
Gays in the military aren't just Arab translators. You know, they're mechanics. They're on the front lines. They're pilots. They do everything.
You're kidding.
Seriously.
Okay. So on Meet the Press, General Myers, Joint Chiefs Chairman Richard Myers, I said, do you have an opinion about whether it's time, meaning, you know, overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell? He said, well, I take some exception with what Senator Levin said, because gays can serve in the military. They just can't serve openly. And they do, and there's lots of them. Oh, Chris, it's like you said, the military is apparently lousy with them.
It's lousy with the homos.
And we're the beneficiary of all that. Apparently, Carl Levin rolled his eyes after
he as well he should.
General Barry McCaffrey, among many others, said there's no question it's time to change the policy. So according to Myers, silent discrimination totally acceptable in the military. He's happy to be the beneficiary of the sacrifices of soldiers who have to hide their sexual orientation. As the Pentagon's own journal, Joint Force Quarterly, explains, the current policy damages unit cohesion.
Yeah.
Thank you, which I know, I believe Dan Choi, among others, has talked about and with us on our show. But we have more Richard Myers comments, I believe.
Well, of course, people who are of a certain ilk can serve in the military. Just don't do or say anything fruity. The phrase, what a fabulous winter treatment, should not be in any man's vocabulary. Fortunately, it's not one that's likely to come up in a combat zone. As for the gals, do not watch golf on Fox Sports and keep the recreational knife play to a minimum. And while a butch haircut is practical in a foxhole, borrow some extensions from the Nancy boys when you're off duty. I'm sure you'll find some hairdressers among them. And wear something frilly. Oh, and remind the boys not to let their wrists get too limp when they're holding their weapons at port arms. And if I've just inadvertently described some gay sexual position, I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. But most of all, don't tell anyone. Shh. And by the way, if anyone needs any glow sticks and E for the next rave, I got a trunk load. Shh, you didn't hear from me.
It's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
He would have ecstasy and glow sticks. How odd.
Flag twirlers.
That's curious.
Yeah. Huh. Don't expect
all right.
That in high ranking.
So, following Sunday's high-profile gay rights march in Washington, D.C., did you hear about this, Chris? CNBC's John Harwood reported something very disturbing.
What?
Well, he was saying, you know, while many gay rights activists are split on their approval of the Obama administration, the president's still polling extremely well with Democrats. He said the White House views this group as part of the internet left fringe.
What, gays are the internet left fringe?
I guess, explaining why there's not been more swift action to bring equality to gay folks. He said if you look at the polling, Barack Obama is doing well with 90% or more of Democrats, so the White House views this opposition as really part of the internet left fringe. An advisor told me today those bloggers need to take off the pajamas, get dressed, and realize that governing a closely divided country is complicated and difficult.
Wow.
So don't know.
I'm sure some bloggers had something to say about that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Captain Setup.
What?
Oh. And now I'm going in for the spike.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but, you know, people like John how am I saying his name right? Aravosis? Of the America blog.
Right, uh-huh. He's called into our show before.
Yes. He said maybe it's time for some White House advisors to get out of their pajamas and read a newspaper once in a while. They might find out that we actually won the election and that the blogs and the gay community played a key role in that victory. Yeah, I don't think now would be the time to intentionally piss
attack
off gay
your,
people.
Yeah. Supporters.
Yeah. What's that?
People who supported him. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's not true. But anyway, speaking of polls, Gallup says... Mm-hmm.
What?
Huh?
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Polls. I was saying that he's polling well with Democrats. Mm. What's the matter with you? Gallup says Obama's job approval rating climbed to 56% since Friday. So the Nobel Prize appears to have... appears to have helped, which will make Fox News head further explode.
I know it! It's a plot!
Mm. All right. You know, Chris, interestingly enough, we've been talking this morning about this, the breaking news. The insurance industry has released a report right on the day that they're voting in the Senate Finance Committee that insurance reform is bad. Bad
healthcare,
for you.
Healthcare. Bad for America.
Yes. It's, you know what's strange? So
did they actually think this would work?
I know.
That we'd fall for it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ooh, it's not... The insurance companies say it's not good. Well,
then,
in that case,
they never lie.
But anyway, in a weird stroke of irony, I'm looking in my my personal inbox, as I sometimes do during the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's something I don't know about yet, but my subject line is, get affordable health coverage during your job search.
What?
Huh? Maybe I should ask the guy that owns the show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Isn't he sitting on the other side of the glass from you right now?
Maybe I ought to. Maybe he knows. But it's from my health insurance company. I got spammed by my health insurance company, and I'm like, what? Job search? Do you know?
What?
I think I'm going to write back.
Just
what have you heard? What have you heard? Anyway, today is, I'll let you guys know if that should become an issue.
Right. Yeah, because if you don't have a job, we don't have a job.
Ooh.
Do you know how many people are dependent upon you, Stephanie?
Bad news. Well, yeah, you're clinging your hangers-on, a bunch of leeches.
Oh, great.
The White House yesterday blasted a report from the health insurance industry that said Senate health care legislation would lead to increases in annual insurance premiums of as much as $4,000 by 2019. Oh, gee, and I wonder who would increase those premiums. Oh, you would have to. I see. But it's not. They're forcing
they'd be
you
forced
to.
Oh,
yes.
Just,
you don't want to.
Couldn't possibly get by with less than 11 gajillion dollars in our pocket.
Exactly. Will this affect our 11 gajillion dollars? Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus said the report excludes all the provisions that will actually lower the cost of coverage, including tax credits and increased enrollment. What? Is he saying the insurance industry would somehow skew these findings in some way to benefit themselves financially?
They
That's
wouldn't
crazy.
Do that.
That's nutty. All right. We will tell you what the reaction is to this report and what will happen today in the Senate Finance Committee as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, this is very touching, boys. As you know, I'm doing the show here in New York this week, the MOOCs in L.A.
Right.
Senator Max Cleland coming up in just a couple of minutes. But so I'm here in New York with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
And he hasn't succeeded yet, obviously.
No, but it's very sweet. He brought me, because I'm very sick, obviously. You can hear it in my voice. I'm hacking up phlegm. I have to do the Ed show on MSNBC tonight.
Oh, my God, that's right. I forgot about that.
And then I'll be going out to dinner with Ed and Wendy and hacking up phlegm on them at dinner. Which will be a big treat for all of us. However, isn't this very sweet? The guy that owns the show, Chris and Jim, he's gotten me a bunch of cold remedy things to help me because he wants me healthy when he kills me for the health insurance money or for the life insurance money.
Okay.
But anyway, he got me a card. It's one of those musical cards, thinking of you, believing in you, caring for you.
Lean on me.
Oh, that's... He signed it Love Ron and the insurance company. So sweet. And I got some Advil PM here, some Ricola.
You know
and
what?
Then the last thing he said, if all else fails, use these guaranteed cure, and it's a package of Camel cigarettes.
You know what? He came through for you when we were on MSNBC, too. He's the one who brought you the Certain Dry.
Oh, that's because of my sweaty problem.
Yes.
So I've become known forevermore as a sweaty chick from MSNBC.
That's right.
Anyway, this is labeled.
Don't take the Advil PM at dinner, though. That would be
yeah. This is labeled Advil PM, Jim, but Mike, there's not a giant poison pill in there from the insurance company. All right. Darren in Chicago on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hey, Darren, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Darren. I did 8 years and looked there with an armless shark. I was out before I went in, but when you went in, you had to sign all these papers that said you're not gay, you've never had sex with a man, and blah, blah, blah. And it just got really old having to change your everything from he to she and her to him, you know, from him to her.
Yep. The famous changing of the pronouns.
Yeah.
Wow. So you were gay in the military, and you presumably the military still exists. It survived you.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
And actually, we seem to do better than... Well, we did better because we were single. We didn't have kids. Well, we were able to work extra hours and to get the better.
Yeah, exactly. Those breeders have too many responsibilities weighing them down, for God's sakes. All right. Thank you, Darren. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim A. Tim A.
Those damn breeders with all the responsibilities. You know, I like how we're now becoming the gay right or left wing fringe here. It's. You know, I think the gays in this country were, honestly, I know I am, where we've been, everything that we've wanted forever, every time we go ahead, we get asked to just donate money or put money here and go to all these parties, every time we kept being told that, oh, we'll get it done next year, this is more important, we'll get this done next year, what's more important, we'll get this done in the next election cycle, next time we have, you know, more control, we'll get this done, we'll push it through. And I think it's not that we're becoming the fringe. We're just becoming more and more angry that every time we've been giving money to the Democrat Party forever. And I think it's driving me nuts now that you look at it, the log cabin Republicans.
Well, I know it must be particularly difficult for you to hear Bill Clinton say, oh, yeah, now I'm for gay marriage. Now I'm for, it's like, no.
Well, yeah, it's just driving me nuts that, you know, you look at this and suddenly people who were in office that were saying that, oh, we'll get it done, never got it done. Now they want gay marriage. And then you look at the log cabin Republicans who are actually trying to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell thrown out. I mean, this is the gay Republican Party and part of the gay Republican Party, and they're trying to get taken out. I mean, this is just showing that no matter what the party lines, that there's people on both sides who want this out, and it seems that it's the right-wing the fringe that is. So
yeah, well, you know what? You're absolutely right, Tim. That's a good point. You know, according to the polls, it's the, you know, Republicans that are the fringe on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think, what is it, Chris? Maybe 70% in most polls are showing that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned.
That's right.
My brother is a Marine, and he loves me. He's got people who are gay in his company, and he has no problem with them. My father-in-law, who you met on Saturday, it was a colonel in the Army.
Hmm.
And he has, obviously, his son's gay, and, you know, he has more respect, I think, for me than anyone else, and he has no problem with gays in the military. I'm so proud, you know, to have that.
Thank you, Colonel. All right. Thank you, Tim. All right. Senator Max Cleland coming up on his new book. Can't wait to talk to him next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Annoying lady, you make a great point.
Thank you. Stephanie Miller's show, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, you have a guess the quote from me?
Yes, I do.
It's like opposite world.
Bizarro world.
It's upside down world.
Who said?
Yes.
As each day goes by, we learn that this government knew a whole lot more about these terrorists before September 11th than it has ever admitted. Let's chase this rabbit into the ground. They had a plan to go to war, and when 9/11 happened, that's what they did. They went to war. Who said that?
Oh, goodness.
It wasn't Red Skelton.
Really? Rip Taylor.
No, that would be General Max Cleland, formerly the 9/11 Commission.
Oh, I have only the greatest respect for him, if only I could. What? He's on the phone. Why, it's former Senator Max Cleland, who we are just honored to have on. Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Well,
Good morning. Is this the annoying lady herself?
It's me. I sometimes stumble on a good point, though. Thank you for asking. I have long loved you politically, but I love even the title of your book, Heart of a Patriot, How I Found the Courage to Survive Vietnam, Walter Reed and Karl Rove.
Well, you know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. I mean, my view about patriotism is the same as that of Adlai Stevenson's view, and that is that patriotism is the long and steady dedication of a lifetime. And my patriotism, my public service, started off with military service. And that's where I learned about fighting terrorists and guerrillas and various strategies that work and various strategies that don't work. And that was called Vietnam. And believe it or not, that lesson is applicable today as we go into Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I wanted to get to that. We might as well do it now. I'm having Frank Rich on in just a little bit. I don't know if you saw his piece on Afghanistan, but I thought it made a lot of sense. I mean, you know, as a Vietnam veteran, I'm curious your take on Afghanistan.
Well, here's the deal. You have to treat Afghanistan and Pakistan as a region. You cannot treat them separately because they're really not separate. The British drew an artificial line down that mountain range that separates Afghanistan and Pakistan in the late 1890s when Churchill was storming around there. That is an artificial line. It's not a real line. The Pashtun tribe occupies both sides of that line. They're both in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And primarily, that is where we are getting our so-called terrorist guerrillas. Bin Laden is probably there. That is the headquarters of Al-Qaeda Central. In the southern portion of Pakistan is Taliban Central. And so you have to think about the region and putting more ground troops, American boots on the ground, into Afghanistan is essentially a hold the line or defensive strategy. You have to have the Pakistanis go after the bad guys, and we have to help them. That is the offensive side of this strategy. It is something I learned in 1962 when I was a young ROTC cadet at Stetson University in DeLand, Florida. It's called the anvil and hammer strategy. So in many ways, that's what's evolving now. It's not so much a question of American boots on the ground in Afghanistan. It is a question of whether the Pakistanis want to clean out their own country and how we can help them.
Right. Well, I don't know if you had heard this morning, President Obama is dispatching an additional 13,000 troops to Afghanistan, that are primarily support forces. Do you think that, I mean, is that going to be the extent of what he does?
No, I don't think so, but I think he made that decision when he sent in February the attack forces. But basically, the forces in Afghanistan are a hold-the-line forces. They're counterinsurgency forces. And counterinsurgency, when the bad guys have a sanctuary, does not work. So you have to go after the sanctuary. Where's the sanctuary? Pakistan. Mm-hmm. That is where our military mission really, where the water meets the wheel. That is where probably Osama bin Laden is. That is where Al-Qaeda Central is. That is where Taliban Central is. And that is where the Pakistan nuclear weapons are. So you have to go, you have to protect the Pakistani nuclear weapons program, and you have to have the Pakistanis go after their own kind, their fellow countrymen in many ways that are on their side of the border. Mm-hmm. So we have to use our air supremacy, our naval supremacy, our NATO allies, our better and better human intelligence to go in and make sure with precision weapons we take these people out, because those enemies are going to kill us if we don't.
Mm-hmm. Senator Cleland, I hate to bring up a sore subject, but we just played a soundbite from Senator Saxby Chambliss earlier on the show, in which he talks about how Don't Ask, Don't Tell is working really spectacularly well for the military, and we should keep it.
No,
can you believe this man has the audacity to question the honor of gay soldiers?
believe it or not, when your father was running as the vice presidential nominee with some guy named Barry Goldwater, who was a senator from southwestern portion of the United States, Barry Goldwater said later that you don't have to be straight to shoot straight.
That's right.
Now, that's an old Air Force general, and so... that's the way I feel about it. If you are a heterosexual, homosexual, transsexual, or whatever, you create a problem for your unit, that's a problem. But if you don't create a problem for your unit and you blend in with your unit, go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah,
you know,
well, Saxby Chambliss.
And follow your commander and be a great soldier. That's what you're called upon to do.
That's right. The rest
of it should be private and personal, as long as it does not disrupt the morale or success of the unit.
Yep, absolutely. You obviously write in your book, and for those of you that don't know, Senator Cleland's Republican challenger Saxby Chambliss ran a TV commercial featuring pictures of Senator Cleland alongside photos of Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, falsely implying the senator had voted against the Department of Homeland Security. That must be hard to, you know, after you left three of your limbs on the battlefield in Vietnam. I mean, it must be hard to get over that, I guess, what he did do.
Yes, not only that, but Karl Rove came down and personally recruited the challenger against me in 2002. And so it was part of the Rove plan that if you have weak positives, as he did with Bush and Cheney and those guys, you go after your opposition, and your goal is to drive the negatives up for your opposition, even if you have to go against their military service. Now, they did that with McCain in South Carolina in 2000. They did that with me in 2002. And ultimately, they did that with Kerry with the Swift voting attacks against him in 2004. That is crossing the line. As Senator Chuck Hagel told me, some things are more important than politics, and what is more important than politics, actually, is one's military service. It should stand on its own. If you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. I was running against a guy who didn't have it, who got out of going against going to Vietnam with a series of deferments and a trick knee. So for them to go against me that in a way that I can't, in accusations that I can't defend my country, is bull feathers.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you. I'm curious your take on this last election, because after obviously John McCain spoke out against those ads against you, I was disappointed, I think as many people were, that how dirty, you know, some of the ads and the campaigning got in the McCain-Palin campaign.
Well, I will say this, that the Obama people treated McCain's military service with great respect, as well we all should.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain is my brother and my friend. We disagree from time to time about lots of things, but he's my brother and my friend. And so the Obama campaign learned, quite frankly, the American people won't really tolerate going after somebody's military service. They won't, and they shouldn't. That is where you cross the line. So they were treated with McCain with a great respect in terms of his military service in 08. That's the way it ought to be.
Yep. Well, I one of my favorite lines in your book, you say, for me, the inauguration of George W. Bush as president ushered in a period I can only describe as unshirted hell.
Yes, it was for me, and it became that for the country.
Yeah.
What I see going over this past decade is that what became unshirted hell for me became unshirted hell for the country, because Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld, they were determined to go to war in Iraq. They were just looking for an opportunity. Now, but the real mission should have been to go ahead and kill or capture Osama bin Laden and his terrorist cadre. That was the first congressional resolution passed within hours after the assault on us, 9/11. That's what should have been done. But it wasn't done. And so they lost Osama bin Laden and his terrorist cadre in the Tora Bora Mountains. Why? Because basically they pulled away the predators. They pulled away the assets on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For the war in Iraq, which now Obama is ending and getting the Nobel Peace Prize for, and now refocusing on killing or capturing those who came after us. Yeah. That is the proper strategy. It does not necessarily mean or translate into boots on the ground in Afghanistan, although part of the anvil and hammer strategy is to hold the line in Afghanistan and hammer them in hammer Al-Qaeda in particular in Pakistan, primarily using Pakistanis.
Mm-hmm. Senator, you are obviously a patriot and a hero, and here's the other thing I love about your book is you dish a little bit of gossip on Bill Clinton, your friend, but it's interesting. One of your aides was in the same intern class as Lewinsky, and so he's the one that she said that famous quote in front of, that she was on the prowl for the president from the moment she arrived. I want to earn my presidential knee pads, that quote we had heard.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton is the most extraordinary and best politician I've ever met in my life. But I will say to you that, like most men, he has a fatal flaw, and that is good-looking women.
Right.
that is true. My man who became my aide later, after all of this happened, told me that as president of the internship class, the White House intern class, he was used as a beard, as a foil, as the excuse to get Monica into the West Wing. And as we say, the rest is history.
Wow. Wow. And I am hugely inappropriate, and yet I've never flashed my thong at anybody. Senator Max Cleland, the book is Heart of a Patriot, How I Found the Courage to Survive Vietnam, Walter Reed and Karl Rove. Such an honor to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you, Stephanie. God bless you.
There, you too, sir. There he goes. Senator Max Cleland.
What a patriot.
A guy who still should be Senator Max Cleland.
You know, that word is overused these days, hero, right? But, if you ask me, a guy that's left three of his limbs on the battlefield for his country and then has continued to fight the good fight against people like Karl Rove all his life is...
You know what, though? A saving grace, you know, now that he's out of the Senate, he might be able to do more, to fight people like Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Jim, once again, why isn't he in prison trading cigarettes for his life?
Yeah, yeah. Rove.
Pops to mind every time he shows up on the Fox News to me.
They've got to pin something on that guy. I mean, come on.
Come on. 46 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to sound off. I feel that those who are eager to claim this recession over and those who want to jump on and particularly Democrats, I think they're making a big mistake by doing so. I think that...
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the group of economists said that. They're looking at obviously leading indicators, but yeah, I hear
people,
you. A lot of people don't feel it yet.
Those people don't know what you think they know, first of all. And the second thing is, at the end of the day, it comes down to buyers and sellers. You cannot borrow, lend, bail out, subsidize, partition, redline, and fractionalize, and propagandize your way out of recession sooner or later.
You sound like Jesse Jackson almost.
I mean, think about the... ask the state of California, the people getting these cuts and their taxes going up, that the recession's over. We're at a 20-year low in government revenues. Cash for clunkers since that ended, sales down are down 70%. Mortgage defaults are astronomical. It's all going through the roof. So, I mean, if you're one of those billionaires out there, I guess maybe they'd turn the corner. But for the rest of us who live in reality, those who are saying this is a done deal, it's over, they're making a big
mistake. Mike, turn that frown upside down. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Wow.
You caught him off guard with that.
He was a gloomy Gus.
He certainly was.
I don't know what to say to all of that.
Hmm.
So, you know, yes, it's still bad out there. I know that. But, obviously, they always say that it starts, from a lot of these leading indicators the economists are talking about. And unemployment's the last thing to turn around.
Yeah.
Trust me. I know.
You don't
know
anything about unemployment.
There. Pardon me?
You wouldn't know anything about unemployment.
No.
I've I've been through long spells, let's just say. Taj in Reading, Pennsylvania on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hey, Taj.
How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to make a comment about the gay troops. You know, it reminds me of the Tuskegee Airmen, where all these white bombers didn't believe that this black fighter squadron could save them. And I was telling your screener that if a couple of gay troops or a platoon of gay troops saved a whole bunch of townhome Texas rednecks, they'd be okay with it. And so that's the problem that we have, is that people, you know, are so scared of this they're going to turn me gay attitude, and instead of actually letting, you know, these people fight and let them defend their country like everyone else does in the military. It's sad.
Yep. That is the difference, right? Is no one thought a black person could turn you black, but for some reason there still seems to be a misconception that gay people can turn people gay. All right, thank you. Thank you, Taj. Okay.
They turned me gay and black. Those bastards!
How did they do that?
No. Neither of those things happened.
Oh, Chris, you know, just because you know I have a bad cold and I'm not feeling well, you made the celebrity stack chock full of impressions that I do that became irrelevant in the 1980s.
That's right.
Katharine Hepburn. It's in the news again. Yes. Though dead. there's a new book out. Hollywood Grand Dame Kate Hepburn, at age 80, took home a Broadway boy toy half her age, plied him with booze before demanding a sultry command performance.
I thought Broadway didn't put up with booze and dope.
Apparently they did back then.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yes,
so you come crawling back to Broadway.
Yes, that's why.
Well,
I'm here.
Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
What?
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
It's like when the witch tells Dorothy she could have gone home whenever she wanted to. What?
Oh, now you tell me.
Tell me. I booked a ticket to New York. What do you mean, no booze? What? Robert Lindsay, the veteran thespian, writes in his new memoir, Letting Go, that when he was 35 and starring in Me and My Girl on Broadway in 1984, he had a very special groupie, Katharine Hepburn. Not only did she come to see the show four times, but after a performance, she sent a note saying she was dying to serve a late supper to him at her chic Manhattan brownstone. I want you to get on me and ride.
There it goes. There's the impression.
Busted it out.
Very appropriate.
Yes. When I saw you on stage, I knew I wanted to dance with you, she said to him, which is what they did. Despite all her slurs whoring around, their relationship remained chaste until they just danced in her garden or whatever.
I can't imagine that Katharine Hepburn did a lot of whoring around.
You don't want to sleep with me. You got a great big chip on your shoulder. Very unattractive. Okay, speaking of...
So do you only do Katharine Hepburn from On Golden Pond, or do you do early Katharine Hepburn?
Oh, no, I also do. I must have the Aquitaine.
Only she didn't say that.
She didn't?
No.
What did she say? Something like that. Eleanor of something.
She was Eleanor of Aquitaine.
But
yeah.
You don't do...
And I also do the Calla-Lilies are in bloom again.
Except she wasn't old.
She wasn't shaky when she did those movies.
Oh, well, I do the same impression. Doesn't matter what age she was.
Oh, God.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
She was starting to get a little shaky by Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
All right. Speaking of irrelevant impressions, for some reason we have Jimmy Stewart on
from
this.
Heaven, yes.
I don't know why.
Boy, that story doesn't surprise me a bit. When we worked on the Philadelphia story, Kate was hot to trot. I mean, you really had to watch yourself around the craft services table. If you had your back turned to her for a second, she'd grab your ass and work you over like a proctologist.
Oh, God.
Although, one time I turned around and it was Cary Grant. Always wondered about that guy. Boy, Spencer Tracy must have been one busy fella. It's probably what did him in, trying to keep Kate satisfied. I bet there wasn't a grip on the set who didn't feel her grip in their dungarees at one time or another. Yeah, when she said she wanted to dance with you, she wasn't talking about the Lindy Hop. Yeah, once she said something about reverse cowgirl, I thought she was talking about something Barbara Stanwyck did when she played Annie Oakley. Boy, was I in for a big surprise. By the way, in case you fellas are wondering, Kate was a real redhead, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
I gotta go. Looks like St. Peter wants to have a word with me for talking out of school. Guess we'll see you around, yeah.
Oh, boy. Do not go away now. There's a Linda Blair story.
Celebrity stack.
And the best columnist in the world, Frank Rich, from the New York Times, is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
News breaking everywhere, left and right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Big breaking news, of course, this morning. The health insurance industry, just in a startling just quirk of timing, came out with a study saying that the health insurance reform would be bad as the Senate Finance Committee gets ready to vote on health insurance reform today. So I'm sure that was just a quirk of timing. All right. Meanwhile, associate producer Rebecca Baker got married for some reason on our vacation. I don't remember her vacation.
All yeah, right. She got married to a coworker in a very Letterman-esque kind of way.
All right, except he works at the right-wing station.
Yeah, he does.
That's somewhat upsetting.
Although he's not a right-wing tool.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to take her word for it.
Okay.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Lots of new stuff up there. You can tweet me. You can live blog with me. You can email me at StephanieMiller.com, along with executive producer Chris Lavoy and voice deity Jim Ward. You know, I believe we can you give me a cut three? Senator Mitch McChinless, Republican of the great state of Kentucky, talking about Afghanistan. Mm-hmm.
We also know that Pakistan has nuclear weapons. The Taliban taking over a country like Pakistan would be completely and totally unacceptable, destabilizing not only in that area of the world, but all around.
I wish you'd refer to me as Senator McLipless. Mm-hmm. It's right in the upper lip.
Warning of the dangers of the Taliban taking over Palestine.
Yeah,
all right, good. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If only there was someone that did. Perhaps the best columnist in the world, Frank Rich of the New York Times. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm here in New York, but as usual, as is my tradition, my entire show yesterday consisted of reading your column from Sunday.
Oh, that's nice of you, I think. I may be tough on the listeners, but...
Well, you know I say this every time, that it was the best column ever. But I think this was the best column ever.
Oh, God. Well, listen, thank you. I don't think I deserve the praise, but I do think we're at this incredible juncture. I love that clip you just played, and where half the people indeed talking about this don't know what they're talking about, and the position of the hawk seems to be the domino theory is back. One size surge fits all, and we all have to now belly up to this huge escalation, or we're traitors, I guess.
Well, exactly. It's you're right. It sounds like the whole Iraq thing all over again, except you're the only one pointing out, but that was a disaster, and why are we listening to the same people like John McCain that have been wrong about every single thing?
Absolutely, and John McCain is just sort of the leading index, because there's a whole group of not just politicians, starting with, of course, I call them the three amigos, him, Lindsey Graham, and Joe Lieberman, who are pontificating now, all of whom were architects of disaster in Iraq, but also a lot of pundits and, you know, neocon writers and so on. There seems to be a statute of limitations on idiocy that ends in about a year.
Exactly. This is my favorite part. You write that the amigos say, we have no choice but to go all in Afghanistan. The U.S. walked away from Afghanistan once before, following the Soviet collapse. The result was 9/11. And I love your line, the shameless argument assumes, perhaps correctly, that no one in this country remembers anything.
It's really true, because they wrote this in an op-ed in the conservative Wall Street Journal editorial page, and they're threatening another 9/11, just as they did, about Iraq, and they're threatening it because we walked away from Afghanistan before, after the Soviets, completely forgetting that we walked away from Afghanistan because they told us to go into Iraq. That's why Afghanistan has collapsed. And I'd love to hear your opinion on this too. Why does no one, for instance, when these people are on Sunday morning talk shows?
Thank you.
Why does no one point this out? Hello, you know, this is what you said 5 years ago, and look where we are.
Frank, I was saying that. I mean, I say that all the time. It frustrates me because you're right. It's not just the John McCain's. It's all of these media outlets that do not do the most basic journalism and absolutely and call them on that. Say, well, that's interesting, Senator, because you said this in, you know, 2000 whatever. I mean, that is what is really irritating. They, you know, continue to call it the liberal media. You're like, you know, you just put it in context when someone is, you know, you point out the thing about him, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, the president's just trying to muddle through. That's exactly what he said.
Exactly. He said we could muddle through. He said it, and he also said that essentially we were still succeeding in Afghanistan as late as 2005 when the insurgency was rising. All the problems that have now come home to roost were happening while he and others like him ignored them and said everything's going great, and
right,
as long as we rebuild Iraq, everything will be fine. And, you know, this domino theory, too. Iraq, wasn't Iraq supposed to be a model for the Mideast and make Afghanistan and Pakistan and all these countries into flourishing democracies? I thought that was the point.
Yes, realize the errors of their ways. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and again, we don't know what the culture is as we go in. And you know, I think, anyway, go ahead.
Well, you make such good points in here, though, that, you know, they keep conflating the Taliban with al-Qaeda just like they conflated Saddam's regime with al-Qaeda. I mean, you know, I for one, I'm glad the president is thinking this through, at least, and taking the time to think it through, because, you know, we had George Bush who didn't even know the difference between Sunnis and Shiites when we went into Iraq. You know,
precisely. I think there's nothing wrong with him taking his time. And by the way, if he were to decide tomorrow, let's do what McChrystal has supposedly asked and send in 40,000 troops, we don't have the 40,000 troops to send in tomorrow. It's going to take a long time to mobilize. So people who say, oh, he's, you know, being too slow and too deliberative, don't even know the facts of, you know, pushing troops into the Middle East either.
Well, you know, you also, I mean, I think there's a lot of just basic facts that I don't know that people know until people like you point them out, that, you know, we have, what, 68,000 troops in Afghanistan. The number of al-Qaeda insurgents there has dwindled to fewer than 100. So,
and that comes from, you know, the National Security Advisor to the President, James Jones, a retired Marine general who's hardly some peacenik or, you know, ill-informed person. And the Taliban is a local phenomenon. It's a horrible group of despots and theocrats, to be sure, but it is a Pakistan-Afghanistan phenomenon. The whole point of al-Qaeda is they can be anywhere. They can be in Denver. They can be in Somalia. They can be in Yemen. And so to conflate these two is just to confuse the issue further and risk getting our troops bogged down in a place where they may not be so needed, while not going after the people who actually are trying to create another 9/11.
Well, you know, and you make a very good historical point that, you know, some 535,000 American troops couldn't achieve a successful counterinsurgency in South Vietnam, which had half Afghanistan's population, just over a quarter of its land area. So, you know,
And by the way, people like, as I pointed out, people like Lieberman and McCain say we can't have half measures. We've got to do what General McChrystal ordered, as if, by the way, we're living in a military junta and the president should just obey the general. But we've got to do what he's ordered. It's got to be that 40,000 troops. General Petraeus, who was the same Hawks god only a year or two, has an actual formula in his handbook for counterinsurgency of the relationship of troops to population, and by Petraeus's calculation, it should be over 600,000 troops. So what's the 40,000 number anyway? It is a half measure. So they're not even getting that right.
Well, yeah, I mean, and here's the thing that we this chorus of, you got to listen to the generals on the ground, the generals on the ground. And again, ignoring recent history, George Bush fired General Shinseki, who was right about the number of troops we needed to go into Iraq.
Exactly. And they, at the time, these same people thought Shinseki was a traitor to a large extent. And so, you know, everyone's jumbling terms. We have a press that, you know, maybe we don't have a press that's duped by phony WMD evidence, as they were, you know, in the run-up to Iraq, but a press that too often, particularly, I have to say, in television, which is still how most people get their news, don't ask the hard questions. As you say, don't put a context to anything. And so the whole debate goes off the rails, and it becomes meaningless.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you point out that obviously the American public has probably learned from the Iraq fiasco, and polls persistently show that we're skeptical, you know, that while John McCain and his friends remain frozen in time, we're skeptical. So what do you think we should do in Afghanistan, and what do you think the president will do?
I don't know what the president will do. I do think that he's genuinely undecided. I mean, that's what I keep hearing. I mean, you know, I guess no one really knows, but I get the sense it really is an ongoing process. This is not some dog and pony show for the American public. You know, like, you know, remember when Bush deliberated over stem cell research for a whole month and then did whatever he wanted to do anyway? It's not that. I do think, I don't think we can just pull out. I do think that we probably need some version of the Biden idea of a counterterrorism strategy and something that sort of keep Afghanistan from collapsing completely. But the most important thing we have to do may be undoable, and that is to force Karzai, who is our partner in all of this, to form a government that at least is a coalition government and somewhat less corrupt. And I, part of me feels that what really may be holding back an Obama decision is waiting to see if there's any movement with Karzai or any way to pressure him. But they've tried in the past and failed. He seems to have stolen the election. We're waiting for this last recount of this often fraudulent election. And I have a feeling that may be the turning point of American policy. Because if you have a partner in Kabul, a government that is corrupt, that can't control its own country, can't govern its own country, it's sort of doomed for us to be involved with them. And I think they're holding on a slender reed that somehow he might redeem himself.
Kind of ironic that a president that stole one election, George Bush, got us into the unnecessary war that distracted us from the country where the guy stole another election. But anyway, that's for another time.
Yes. In the end, everything comes down to Florida.
That's right.
Exactly. The source of all evil. Frank Rich, I am here in New York this week, and you know my fantasy is that you and Maureen Dowd and I will sit around at a dinner party someday just tossing back little zingers like in an old coward play.
I'd love it. Let's do it sometime.
Oh, that'll never happen, but I will probably stalk you while I'm here, so I'll see you outside your apartment.
Stalk away. I look forward to it.
All right. Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world from the New York Times. Thank you, Frank.
Take care.
All right. There he goes.
Set up an Algonquin card table there in the studio. Yeah.
There in the Stephanie Miller Bureau, New York City Bureau.
Algonquin card table.
Out where we live in Hollywood, of course, they have maps to the stars home. I can only hope that, you know, there's, I don't know, maps to the liberal intellectual geek home houses.
Yeah, they're all clustered around Columbia.
I got to get one of those maps.
Yeah.
All right. So back to Celebrity Stack when we return. Linda Blair's in my Celebrity Stack. It's my other impression that I became irrelevant in the 80s.
Right.
Somehow.
Oh, boy.
Come back to comfort me. We'll be back with more Celebrity Stack and the latest on the healthcare debate as the Senate Finance Committee votes today on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget Mama on the Ed show on MSNBC tonight and also on Thursday here from live from New York City.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So not only is Linda Blair in my Celebrity Stack today, but, you know, I ran into her in my neighborhood. Back
when?
In L.A. A few months ago. She's doing the Lord's work with the dog rescue.
Oh.
Which, you know, Mama's a big fan of. So the story, the headline is How Exorcist Star Linda Blair Spun Simon Cowell's Head.
Literally.
Oh, by the way, did I torture her with my Exorcist impression?
You did not.
Did.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes. She enjoys it, or pretends to.
No, she doesn't.
Your mother sucks lollipops in hell. Hell. Yeah, she likes it. Hmm. Well, I not as much as Ed Asner likes it when I torture him with a Mary Tyler Moore impression every time I run into him. And then he just sort of does the, this is great.
Yeah, great, thanks.
A shortage of cash.
Spunk.
threatened to shut down Exorcist star Linda Blair's animal shelter until American Idol top dog Simon Cowell bailed her out.
Aww.
He heard about her plight from a mutual friend and donated $30,000 to her nonprofit World Heart Foundation, which cares for 50 abandoned dogs at a time.
I found it under the cushions of my couch.
Apparently he did. And good for him. Thank you so much. Would you like to come over for pea soup? All right. This is a let's hear it for the boy to the entire NFL. Did you hear about this? The head of the NFL Players Union opposes Rush Limbaugh's bid to buy the Rams. Rush Limbaugh, since he came out and expressed interest in buying the St. Louis Rams, black NFL players have let it be known that they would never play for a team owned by the hate radio host. NFL Players Executive Director D. Morris Smith is also opposing Limbaugh's bid. In a letter he wrote, sport in America is at its best when it unifies, gives all of us a reason to cheer, and when it transcends. Our sport does exactly that when it overcomes division and rejects discrimination and hatred. So there.
Friends, the NFL is full of player haters. From now on, I suggest you watch women's beach volleyball. It's much more entertaining.
I guess they didn't enjoy his, I believe we read the history of his racist comments recently, which started with the him telling an African-American caller, you remember that, why don't you take the bone out of your nose and call me back?
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, shark, everybody, shark! There's a... Sorry, was that like a fire in a crowded theater? There has been a shark, great white shark sightings at the celebrity surf beach out in Malibu.
In the
Dramatic
boo?
Dramatic photos of it. Hmm?
In the boo?
In the boo. They're going to need a bigger boat in the boo. Dramatic photos of an 8 to 10 foot long great white shark snapped leaping out of the water at a Santa Monica beach frequented by surfboarding celebrities has plenty of L.A. surfers shaking in their wetsuits. Longtime surfer John Philbin, who is in Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves. Love that movie.
Did you really?
Oh.
Awesome. Huh. It was awesome.
He said people are taking this seriously. It's kept more than a few people out of the water this week. Great white shark sightings in Santa Monica Bay have skyrocketed over the past few months. In late July, a 16-foot shark was photographed swimming in the waters not far from a break in Malibu where Matthew McConaughey surfs. No, not Matthew.
We're going to need a bigger boat. I may have put a shirt on.
If I were a shark, I would definitely eat him. He looks tasty. Lots of meat on that.
Not really. He's kind of skinny, isn't he?
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He has abs, yes, but that's because he's skinny.
He's hunky.
Oh.
All right. I miss my dogs, Max and Fred, desperately, as I'm here in New York this week. But
Max,
I have
Max!
I have not French kissed a chimp here in New York like Paris Hilton did.
Huh?
She was spotted locking lips with a chimpanzee at the opening of an amusement park in New York, according to the Daily Mail.
Well,
you know, they tend to be bitey. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, older chimps tend to get a little nuts.
And they tend to fling poo.
Well, so do most of the celebutards she hangs
out with. Well, that's true.
Maybe it was a bonobo there.
Just another night clubbing for her. All right, this is a weird story. A flight attendant on Oprah Winfrey's private jet. You know, I've been on Oprah Winfrey's banker's private jet. I've told you that story. When I worked at the Oxygen Network.
So Oprah didn't send her jet.
Pardon me?
Oprah did not send her jet?
No, I wouldn't be allowed on Oprah's jet.
Okay. Which one?
A flight attendant was allegedly fired for having sex during a flight in June while the talk show host dozed on sleeping pills. The flight attendant was getting frisky, apparently, while Oprah was napping.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare the captain for Bow Chicka Bow Bow.
We'll be back with the details of that story.
Wow.
A little more celebrity stack, health care, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That woman has natural breasts. This can't be good.
Don't forget to tune in live to see my breastuses and the rest of me on The Ed Show on MSNBC. That will be at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Are you going to be wearing a magical sweater?
I will have to go choose one, won't I?
Well, the purple one makes you sweat. We know
yes.
that.
Yes. I will, and then I'll be having a dinner with Ed and his lovely wife Wendy. So I'll have stories tomorrow on the radio.
Hooray!
So there. Some breaking news. We mentioned earlier this morning that some White House aide was quoted as calling gay activists. What did he call them, Chris? Report according to the CNBC reporter, internet fringe.
Oh yeah, left wing internet fringe.
Yes, bloggers need to get out of their pajamas and blah blah blah. The White House is disavowing the comment made by an anonymous advisor. Asked for comment, they said that sentiment does not reflect White House thinking at all. So let's hope that's true. All right. Oh, dear. You know, this is where we get into the celebrity sack, where it's funny or sad. You decide. David Hasselhoff wets hotel bed.
Oh no.
His, I understand he has a bit of a drinking situation.
A bit? A drinking solution?
Mine is.
Well, okay.
He wet his hotel bed and was so uncontrollable he had to be locked in the basement before an ambulance arrived. A hotel guest who saw Hasselhoff at the bar said he was abusing all the staff, shouting at everybody. We were shocked. You'd think he was just some drunk, not a big star. He's actually a big drunk star, is what he is at this point.
But he still looks good. And it's better to look good than to feel good.
Wow. That's another current... That's another current impression for today's show. Oh, boy.
Now, how's a guy look that good when he's, like, just downing...
Lots and lots of human growth hormone.
Ah, there you go.
All right. You know, Mama has been twittering her ass off.
Bourbon.
Yes, that's how you stay looking so young. A diet of nothing but cheeseburgers and bourbon.
That's my secret.
So Mama has been twittering, as you know, but I can't beat Elizabeth. Elizabeth Taylor, it's like crack to her, the twittering.
Well, yeah.
She twittered that her surgery went off without a hitch this weekend. She had a heart procedure, delisted writing. She wrote, "My heart procedure went off perfectly. It's like having a brand new ticker. Thank you for your prayers. Love you, Elizabeth." Delisted says, "Elizabeth, good as new now and will probably outlive silicone." So she is hearty, I must say. She's been through a lot, and she's hanging in there.
Yeah, and she parties with the homos at the Abbey in West Hollywood, too.
Where her diet consists entirely of bourbon and cheeseburgers.
I think you can get both there.
Probably Manhattan's. And
all right. So Hillary Clinton was on the Today Show. Did you see this? And gave the most definitive answer yet to the question.
Will you ever run for president again? Yes or no? No.
No.
Wow. That's kind of surprising.
She whipped out the Hillary chuckle.
That's another one for the...
No. And as I said yesterday, I'm delighted that he won the Nobel Prize and I work for him. And I don't never want it to be president anyway.
All right. She didn't even have to think about it and get it back to her.
Exactly. She had an answer. By the way, may I just say, I think she's doing a bang-up job as Secretary of State, as I thought she would. She talked about North Korea. She said the United States will continue working for a nuclear-free Korean peninsula, regardless of reports that North Korea launched missiles on Monday. She said our goals remain the same. We intend to work toward a nuclear-free Korean peninsula.
Nuclear-free Korean peninsula, my ass.
She said our consultation with our partners and allies continues unabated. It is unaffected by the behavior of North Korea. Talking to you, dear leader.
I'm a bad boy. I'll launch a 5 short-range missile into a no-sail zone in the water off the own coast of my own country. Big deal. You got to worry when I got the long-range missile to reach all the way to California. I'll hit Alameda County, Presa County, Calaveras, Stanislaus, Turare, maybe even Tuolumne. Well, El Dorado, Reston, San Luis Obispo, Los Angeles County.
Uh-oh.
Look out! I got typo dong.
Tuolumne County?
Tuolumne.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Calaveras.
Calaveras. Not the wrong range. Stanislaus. Not the wrong range missiles, please. Oh, boy.
What's an Obispo, anyway?
I love we're laughing when they're talking about hitting L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the wrong range ones. Okay. So, the Christopher, what time does the Senate Finance Committee vote today? Any word?
Well, they're having some hearings right now. They're expecting it sometime after noon, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is expected to pass the max...
Yeah, but it's the only one without a public option.
So yes. Chances are a public option will get in there somehow.
That's what I'm told. However, I love this headline from the Associated Press. This is the breaking news. Chris, insurance companies aren't playing nice anymore.
Huh.
They're not going to be as nice as they always have been to us, Jim. Now they're serious. Their dire message is that health care legislation will drive up premiums for people who already have coverage. Comes as a warning shot at a crucial point in the debate. Democrats and their allies scrambled on Monday to knock down a new industry-funded study.
Huh.
Just in the nick of time.
Those are always
out.
Reliable.
Mm-hmm. Forecasting that Senate legislation over time will add thousands of dollars to the cost of a typical policy. Distorted and flawed, said the White House. Fundamentally dishonest, said the AARP. A hatchet job, said a spokesman for Max Baucus. Excuse me. The health insurance industry's top lobbyist in Washington pointedly refused to rule out attack ads on TV featuring the study. Just like all the right-wingers cite the Lewin Group,
which
is also a group.
Which is funded by United Healthcare.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's completely
yes.
Nonpartisan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At the heart of their complaint is a decision to by lawmakers to weaken the requirement that millions more Americans get coverage, since the legislation would ban insurance companies from denying coverage on account of poor health. They say many people will wait to sign up until they get sick, and that will drive up costs for everybody.
And the study funded by Philip Morris determined that smoking is good for you.
Really? I hadn't seen that one.
It's good for the health.
Yes, the White House said this is an industry-funded report from the top opponent of health reform prepared by a firm that specializes in tax shelters. It's hard to take it seriously. So the future of the U.S. health care legislation now apparently depends on warring Democrats and a senator from Maine. What is the deal? Apparently this is all about Olympia Snow these days.
Why?
I know. Because they're saying her support may shore up backing from Democrats and Republican-leaning states. I've had it with the blue balls. I really have. In the House, lawmakers are waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to analyze the costs of various proposals to make sure they don't add to the deficit, a requirement of President Obama's, so before they do all the bill melding. All right. I think, as I mentioned, associate producer Rebecca Baker got married.
Yeah, she did. Congratulations.
Vacation and congratulations to her, leaving me the single biggest loser on the show once again. Well, you too, Chris, but still.
Well,
Jim got married on his last vacation. I don't know.
We have a vacation coming up in December.
Maybe I'll
get married.
Maybe someone on the future husband list is going to come through just in the nick of time. Now I feel pressure.
Maybe you and Chris should get married.
Oh God, no. Oh, Jesus.
Wouldn't that be? Oh, God.
You already hate each other. You might as well be married.
Excuse me.
What? Did I overreact just a little?
Just react to me like I'm a Max Baucus healthcare bill. How dare you. Anyway, here's my new dream. Mama must have a new dream in order for it to die, as all of my other dreams do. However, you know who my new future husband is? Representative Alan Grayson. Pardon me.
No relation to Dick Grayson, youthful war.
No. He's
from
what
Florida.
Do you call it? Yes, the Die Quickly congressman.
Yes.
He's Where's My Rock Star sound effects. He has become a Democratic rock star, and his popularity not dying quickly. He told a wildly enthusiastic crowd of about 2,000 Democrats that the GOP should change its name to the Selfish Party. The Where Is My Rock Star sound effects. Let's go. The first term congressman from Orlando was given a standing ovation for his remarks at the Florida Democratic Party's annual convention. Okay, I was waiting for an ovation for his remarks. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I had to find
it. It was stuck in the pipe somewhere. Yeah. It had to.
Okay.
Stuck in a series of tubes.
Jim, you know how when we go on location, people make you do various catchphrases and things from your characters?
Mm.
The audience began chanting at Grayson, "Say it! Say it!" So he complied. Don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly. Oh, boy. See, next time you go out, Jim, people are going to want to hear long-range missiles.
Long-range missiles. I'm going to shoot them at Caraveras County. Turari. And Stannis Cross and Tuori Romney.
Okay. 43. Pardon me.
San Luis Obispo.
Okay, 43. Yay! Crowd roar! 43 minutes after the hour. I got to go deflam right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek, I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. Darlene in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Darlene.
Well, thank you. So every morning we listen to your show in the car, and I have the two most sarcastically liberal teenagers in the world with their teacher's love. But this morning we were listening, and my three-year-old starts yelling out, "It's the meanie ho-ho, it's the meanie ho-ho." And we're like, "What is he talking about?" And he keeps saying, "In the radio, in the radio." And that's when Jim was doing his impression of Rush Limbaugh. And the meanie ho-ho is who my son calls the Grinch.
Oh.
That's cute.
Isn't that precious? All right. Thank you, Darlene.
Why, this tree won't light on one side, my friend.
You know, I must say, Jim, not being in the studio with you, your impressions really are eerie.
Yeah.
Actually, not seeing
it's better
you,
when
I'm
you
like...
can't see me.
I think Sam in Asheville sent me an email earlier saying that your Jimmy Stewart impression was the best he'd ever heard.
Well, there's the old Jimmy Stewart from Johnny Carson, that damn step at Hunine. And then there's young Jimmy Stewart. But Mr. Potter, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man. I'm going to kick your ass.
He never said that.
He didn't really say that.
No.
But that's the Jim Ward version. All right. I mean, I've been in radio a long time, Chris, but I'm sort of sometimes like, wow, is that really Joe Lieberman? Oh, it's Jim.
Oh, you get fooled by your own show.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yes, just
me.
Like my sister did not. I realized that my technological incompetence, I come by it genetically, because it took me literally, I swear, like an hour to explain to her that while I am not, even though I'm in New York this week, I still can do the radio show. But I'm not actually in all of the cities where I'm heard.
But Major Nelson, first you were over here, and now you're over there.
Yes, I speak into a microphone, you see, and there's wires and some sorts of satellite things or something. All right. Can I have
it's
my banjo?
Magic.
Can I have my banjo music, please? I just have one more future husband to get out of the way here. It's a guy making moonshine. It's a moonshine guy in North Carolina.
Wow, they still do that?
Mm-hmm. North Carolina. This makes my mom very happy. She lives in Charlotte. North Carolina authorities say they have found 929 gallons of moonshine under a shed in the mountain. 63-year-old Roger Lee Nance was arrested on.
They still make moonshine?
Yeah, apparently.
Huh. Apparently.
I mean, you can go down to the liquor store and actually buy some booze.
Well, I think they're ABC stores there. State-owned stores.
All right, clearly I have to find a future husband before I get as old as this woman. North Idaho woman mistakes her own hearing aid for a milk dud. An 87-year-old was watching Dancing with the Stars, and she wanted a snack. She said it appeared that one of my milk duds was not as fresh as the others. I couldn't get it to soften up no matter how hard I tried.
Where's that feedback coming from?
A hearing aid had fallen out of her ear and dropped into the little box I have these.
They're about to put a warning label on milk duds now.
Not to be confused with hearing aids.
Ed in Ohio, by the way, writes with some shocking breaking news, Chris, and that is apparently somebody on Fox News got some fact wrong.
What?
Shocking. Hey, y'all, you played a clip earlier of Dick Morris saying the president's Nobel Prize was a plot by the socialist Norwegian parliament. The Nobel Prize is Swedish, not Norwegian.
It's Norwegian.
There's both. I think the Nobel Peace Prize is Norwegian and the other ones are Sweden. It's confusing.
Well, you know what? Either way, Jim, it's worth hearing again only because he warns us that this will lead to the American Revolution being overturned.
This is part of Europe's effort to colonize the United States, to reverse the effects of the American Revolution. We talked about it a week or two ago about the G20 and the inroads into our economic sovereignty. And this, along with the prize for Gore and the prize to Carter after he opposed the Iraq War, those are all attempts by the Norwegian parliament, a group of socialists in Norway who make these decisions, to influence American politics.
You shouldn't be talking about U.S. American sovereignty since we damn near destroyed the global economy last year.
Yeah. I just, you know, I'd have to check into my world history to find out. Can you do that, Jim? Can the American Revolution just be rescinded?
If you have a time machine, you can go back in time and...
Yeah, we have a DeLorean.
And give the Hessians
We're
machine
going to
guns.
Be recolonized. I will not. I'm putting my foot down, Jim. I will not be governed by that skank biscuit, the Queen. Why? She can barely keep her knickers on.
Let this revolution shall not stand. I shall overturn it. General Cornwallis will now have nuclear weapons. Well, they've not been invented yet, technically.
All right. Here are the fun facts about the new book, Sarah Palin Going Rogue.
They're fun facts?
Not, well, you know, it's flying off the shelves. And why? Because places like Newsmax have bought it, and then they give it away for free.
Yeah, when you subscribe to their stupid website.
When you subscribe to Newsmax, you get crap you've never heard before and probably wish you hadn't. And you'll get Sarah Palin's book for free.
That's not the reason her book is the talk of New York publishing circles. What's getting the most tongues wagging is the publisher's choice of ghostwriter. We've heard some not-so-fun facts about Lynn Vincent. But have you heard the latest fun facts? For the past 10 years, she's been working for the Christian-based World magazine, from which she took time off to write Palin's book. She's a creationist and strongly anti-abortion, the subject of many of her columns. She is also staunchly anti-gay. She's closely associated with a well-known white supremacist. By the way, Andrew Sullivan, one of our personal favorites, he blogged last Thursday. He questioned how Jonathan Burham... He's gay, and he's the man who commissioned Palin's book for HarperCollins, can bring himself to appoint Vincent, a fanatical homophobe, as Palin's ghostwriter.
Wow.
He said as gay people prepare to march for their civil rights last week, Burnham, one of the more powerful gay men in New York, is preparing to capitalize on on their avowed enemies. Good job.
Curious
Good job.
And curious.
Oh, that was my atomic clock.
Uh-oh.
Did you? Oh, no.
Now I have no idea what time it is.
You've broken the space-time continuum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're being recolonized by England.
If you knock over an atomic clock, does it blow up like a nuclear bomb?
I've done Dick Morris's evil bidding. Oh, no. I broke the New York Bureau of 70 Mill International.
Oh, great.
Oh, dear. There's going to be hell to pay for that.
Yeah, it's coming out of your paycheck, Stephanie.
Oh, dear. All right. All right. Speaking of Sarah Palin, I love this. So the man that sprung her on America, John McCain, apparently is now trying to effect a GOP makeover. So he's the one that drove this party into the gutter in this landslide by foisting the likes of Sarah Palin on us. And now he's trying to fix it. Now he's fresh from his humbling loss last year. Senator McCain is working behind the scenes to reshape the Republican Party because apparently his ideas were so awfully popular. He wants to reshape the party in his own image. McCain is recruiting candidates, raising money for them, and hitting the campaign trail on their behalf. But those familiar with McCain's thinking say he expressed serious concern about the direction of the party, is actively seeking out and supporting candidates who can broaden the party's reach. Oh, like Sarah Palin, you mean? Like a uniter like her? By the way, there's also the fact, as Frank Rich pointed out to us earlier and in his column, John McCain has been wrong about everything.
Yeah.
So good luck with that, with revitalizing the party with a guy that not only lost a landslide, but's been wrong about everything. On Iraq, on Afghanistan. Anyway, pardon me. I think he's endorsed people with center-right politics because he has an understanding that the party's in trouble with certain demographics and wants to have a tone that would allow us to grow, said well-known panty-waist Lindsey Graham. At a time when our party is struggling and has a lot of shrill voices and aggressive voices, he's one that can expand our party, said John Weaver, a longtime McCain friend and strategist. So, see, now I understand the whole Lindsey Graham beating up on Glenn Beck thing, don't you, Chris?
Yeah.
He's just doing his little buddy's bidding now, trying to wrest their party back from the lunatics that they gave it to.
Well, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh are the heads of the Republican Party at this point.
Oh my God, I'm dissolving into a pool of my own phlegm at this point. Thank God the show is almost over.
You're drowning in lung butter.
I really am. I need to take a picture and put it and tweet it to everybody.
No, we could do without that.
Oh.
No, but take pictures of the studio that you're in. I'm sure everybody would like to see that.
All right,
and the atomic clock you broke.
Yeah, that's on the floor now. All right.
Mom, yeah, take a picture and send it to me. That's what you'll do.
Mama needs to take some, get hopped up on cold goofers before I go do the Ed Show on MSNBC. Don't forget to tune in, and we will see you here tomorrow, live from New York on the Stephanie Miller Show.